In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our sermon series today, we think about Ezekiel's vision of water flowing from the side of the temple. Water is a powerful image. 71% of the earth's surface is covered by water. An amazing 96% of all the earth's water is contained in the great oceans and seas. Water is essential for personal and community living, and without it we would simply die. It is not surprising, therefore, that water plays such an important part in the Bible. However, in ancient times, having access to clean water was not simply about ease of washing or bathing. Cities also needed to secure their water supply in case of attack or worse, siege. The city of Jerusalem was no exception, and from the earliest of times, its natural spring was heavily fortified and connected to the city wall. We know from archaeological discoveries of further aqueducts running from the spring and the pool of Siloam, and mentioned in the second book of the Kings. But water was also needed in Jerusalem for liturgical use at the temple. Ritual cleansing was important, because if the priests did not perform this act, they would be unclean. Sacrificing animals brought them into contact with blood. This cleansing stretches back to the use of bronze basin filled with water before the tabernacle in the wilderness. We read in the book of Exodus, "With the water, Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. They shall wash their hands and their feet so that they may not die." That water in that bronze basin in front of the tabernacle quite literally saved them from death before they entered the tabernacle to minister to the Lord. When Solomon built the first temple many, many years later, that bronze basin became particularly important because of the large number of priests and the possibility for a significant larger number of animal sacrifices at the temple complex. It was so large, it was no longer called a basin. We read in the first book of Kings, "Then Solomon made the molten sea." The molten sea. It was about 15 feet in diameter. It was over 7.5 feet tall. It stood on 12 bronze oxen. There were also 10 separate bronze basins. Each one of those was 6 feet in diameter, and there were 5 basins on either side of the temple, on bronze stands with bronze wheels which were shaped like chariot wheels, so I guess the priests could move them about. These 10 basins were the ones used for washing the sacrificial offerings, but the molten sea was for the priests to cleanse themselves. Now, I'm taking some time to describe all this so that we understand how important water was to the ritual of the temple, and in particular, its importance next to the altar of burnt offering, which was even larger than the molten sea. So with this in mind, we turn to the vision of Ezekiel that we heard in our Old Testament lesson today. Ezekiel was a priest, the son of a priest, and deported to Babylon in the first deportation of Nebuchadnezzar with King Jehoiakim and 10,000 of the most important people of Jerusalem. that would have included the priestly caste. So it's not surprising that many of the dreams and visions of Ezekiel concern the temple and its ritual. Ezekiel's vision of water flowing from the temple is a powerful reminder of the use of water for purifying the priests as they ministered in the temple. It is also a sign of purification coming from the temple itself, the place of God's presence, where his glory abided in the Holy of Holies, the place of sacrifice and atonement, the place for the forgiveness of sins. But the water that Ezekiel sees in his vision does not come from the great molten sea. That water was used for cleansing, and that meant that that water became unclean. Water thrown away after animal sacrifice, after all, would be good for nothing. You wouldn't even want to wash your clothes in it. However, the water that Ezekiel witnesses brings life to stagnant water. This is not ritual water, for we read, "Everything will live where the river goes." It's a sign of the water of life, flowing from the presence of God, bringing life to all it touches, flowing directly, we are told, from the sanctuary. And this is no mere stream, for Ezekiel describes how the water becomes very quickly a torrent, a deep river, so powerful that it cannot be crossed. I remember once helping some school children in Liverpool in the United Kingdom prepare a dramatized reading of this passage of Ezekiel. Now, some of the children used very long, wide strips of blue and white silk cloth to represent the flowing water, as the person who was playing Ezekiel was wading through it. They wafted their silk strips higher and higher, and they got a little carried away, so much that one of the 11-year-old narrators turned to his friend and said in a rather loud stage whisper, "I hope he can swim." In his vision, Ezekiel needs help. And he witnesses new growth on the riverbank. On the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. As the King James Version puts it, for medicine. This river flows from the sanctuary, the symbol of God's presence and glory, the Holy of Holies. That same symbol of God's presence and glory we then find in our second lesson today from the book of Revelation. In his vision, St. John saw a new Jerusalem, and that vision of the new Jerusalem was beautiful, described as a bride adorned for her husband. But the new Jerusalem will have no temple for sacrifice, because the lamb that was slain will be at its center. The source of all life comes from the lamb. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. What a striking echo of Ezekiel's vision. The water of life, flowing bright and clear, cleansing, purifying, and healing all the nations, all people. In John's Gospel, Water has a significant place in the narrative and in the teaching of Jesus. In his first miracle at Cana in Galilee, the changing of water into wine, Jesus asked for the 12 stone water jars used for ritual purifying to be filled to the brim so that they were overflowing. Shortly after that, Jesus explained to Nicodemus that he would have to be born again of water and the Spirit. Sometime later in the Gospel, at the sixth hour in the heat of the day, at a well, Jesus asked a Samaritan woman for a drink of water because he was parched and he was thirsty. The conversation led to discussion on water, but Jesus offered this woman something far more satisfying than the water that the woman could draw from the well. He said, "Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." That prophecy of living water then became linked to the ritual of the temple itself. When Jesus went to the temple during the festival of booths and taught, and he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." But my friends, in John's Gospel, the most significant mention of water is found on Good Friday. On the cross, just before his death, Jesus says, "I thirst." And after receiving the vinegar, he says, "It is finished," and he died. It is now that all the prophecies and these visions come to their fulfillment. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. From the side of Christ flowed blood and water, but not unclean like the water of the great molten sea. Now all the prophecies make sense. Ezekiel saw water flowing from the side of the temple near the altar of sacrifice, not dirty water. The water that Ezekiel saw was different, pure and life-giving, flowing from the side of the temple, from the presence of God, and it brought healing. The priests in the temple had to cleanse themselves because the water saved them from death, from the wrath of God. But they had to do it again and again and again as each sacrifice was offered. That same living water that Jesus had told Nicodemus about, that he had offered the woman at the well, and that he cried about in the temple, the very place of God's presence and glory, water that would flow from the believer's heart, it had to have a source. The water had to have a source. And this living water came from his own sacred heart, broken on the cross. The water of life flowed from the riven side of Christ, pierced for us so that a torrent of life would flow from the one glorified on the cross. That water is both a symbol of life in the Spirit and of the sacramental life of the Church. My friends, the water of life flows from the side of Christ, from the temple that was his body, the glory of God, the Word made flesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.